has a thoughtful opinion, pluses and minuses of minhagim in general. I asked you guys to imagine a Judaism without minhagim. Give me some pluses and minuses, Yonatan.
They separate the nation.
So that's a minus.
Yes.
You're saying it makes it different.
It makes it almost sometimes like two separate religions.
That's true. Imagine if we all just dive in the same davening. It would be nice. Yeah?
It unites people. Tons of Jews would not be Jews or identify as Jews, and there are tons of Jews that would not be considered Jews or identify as Jews without Minhagim being the only thing they have.
It's kind of like if everyone's the same, like, then you don't feel special.
Like char.
Right? Imagine everyone was exactly the same, nothing would be unique. Maybe by us being unique, it strengthens certain groups.
Not like that. I mean, like, if there was no minhag and no like tradition like that, there's a lot of Jews who are traditional Jews. Like, that's all they got.
But I get what you're saying. Those are traditions, though. What's an example?
Tradition.
What's an example?
Or minhag?
Sing a song at the end, yeah.
That's a law.
That's a minhag.
Julian had something very important to say. Julian?
Isn't it you guard the mitzvah? You're able to place fences around the mitzvah. You're able to
so you think certain minhag can put a fence around the mitzvah? So give me an example of a minhag. Not a minhag. Law.
Don't
bike on Shabbos.
Not a minhag.
Law. But I'll give you a good one.
Kippah. Best minhag ever.
Gebrucks.
Gebrucks is dumb.
Kinyos is
dumb. Gebrucks is dumb.
Yeah.
No one likes Gebrucks.
Anybody else have anything crucial to say? Yes, John.
I don't think it's always so good, or at least the education on it. You could definitely fix it, but a lot of people don't know the difference sometimes between minhagim and halakhot, and they mix and match them a lot.
Oh, sometimes it creates confusion, and people think, I can imagine someone saying, this is the minhag, and then they don't take laws seriously. Say, if we don't take minhagim seriously, then maybe we don't have to take laws seriously. And that could lead to confusion, which is why we need to clarify.
So it's not just speak up for me now, because everybody's hating on it.
Great people.
I just said I like
it. Are the best, yeah.
I would know.
We don't like they're a minhag.
Will you let Ezra talk? Will somebody let Ezra talk? Bevra? We want Ezra to talk.
So I think minhagim are...
Mustard.
Guys, guess.
They give variety. They give... Shechter likes to say, spice of life. Variety is spice of life.
That's what it means, kind of.
Beautiful. They make it be...
But so that you really... You have such a difference. We have... I don't even know if they're really Jewish now. We have Temarim.
And Haredi.
It's true, they're not Jewish. Get out! They're the most Jewish Jews.
We have Temarim. We have Moroccan Jews.
Caleb isn't circumcised.
Is he not?
No, but...
It violates his vegan rights.
What are we talking about?
Where did this come from?
Okay.
Genitalia? What the...
Okay.
Yeah, so... So there's a very wide spectrum. You have on one hand you have Temanim, and on one hand you have, you know.
Guys, honestly, we need to like
huge variety,
stop talking when other people are talking.
That's exciting. That's
okay. Just stop talking.
Livens things up, and that also could give you a sense of continuity, and basis, and things are. It helps to solidify people's identities sometimes. That's a wonderful thing.
Just a simple. It's diverse. I think it's what. What'd you say?
The diversity of variety. Okay.
Also, if one thing doesn't work, you have something to fall back.
Don't talk about other
people. Just keep going.
Diversity. It's sometimes maybe being different actually does the exact opposite. Like, it unifies because then you get more interactions between each other. Like, you wait 3 hours? I wait 1 hour.
That's
really
good. Then one half of the argument wins. There's always a winner.
Okay,
the example was a joke.
It's beautiful.
The meaning was like,
and it's not me.
Okay, I get it. I think you have to make beautiful points. The midrash that comes to mind when you're talking about diversity is when the sea split, there was 12 different paths. That all the tribes were looking at each other parallel. They could see in the water each other, but they're all going on their own path. Says one midrash, And I think that expresses the idea that you're talking about in terms of diversity. But at the same time, we do have this, these issues that Minhagim seem to create. So we're going to have to deal with that. The truth is, Minhag is a very broad word. It really means different things. On the one end, on the most, from the little to the heavy, what could a Minhag be? A Jewish custom. When I say a Jewish custom, what am I talking about?
Bagels and locks.
Bagels and locks.
Whoa. Okay.
That's right.
It's a lock. It's a lock.
Having your kid be a doctor or a lawyer.
Something like that. I mean, then you get a little higher, and then let's say a minhag, which a certain group of Jews do, but not all halacha, but not all Jews. Kisnilis is a big portion of Jews do, so that might be a little different. But something that no one considers a law that you must do, but which is considered a strong custom among certain groups. Kippah is already a third category of a law, a law which had originally emerged from custom. Takana also is a law which
strimal.
Saying good Shabbos may be an example.
Eating
a strimal is a good at clothing.
Eating
going to a mikvah every day for Hasidim. Going to Meiron and going to the Rebbe. All right, eating cheesecake on Shavuos.
Oh,
Uman. Going to Uman maybe. All right. Although that might be a different category of things that you're not allowed to do.
Shia.
eating turkey minhag.
Eating turkey on Thanksgiving.
No. I mean saying turkey is kosher.
Oh, wait, I'm sure that is.
That
is
kosher.
The truth is, there's a big.
It was okay because people
had a minhag. Right.
Had a minhag.
Nachon. We'll have to talk, guys.
Quite the minhag about turkey. Forgot who it was.
No.
Gyra. We're going to have to talk about. On Monday, we're bringing in the Tchelis guy, and he's going to talk about why he believes Tchelis is really Tchelis. And there are those who claim that we can't wear Tchelis because it's not our minhag. That's an interesting question. Can you have a not minhag? And the fact that we haven't done it for a long time make it a minhag? Or maybe we just didn't have it, so we...
People adopt the minhag and they have to do it for the
minhag. That's another question. Once I start doing it, do I have to start doing it? These are all questions related to minhag. We're not going to cover them all, but... Okay. There are other minhagim we're trying on a higher level, as we've noticed, because the whole Jewish people have adopted them. Take, for example, Mariv, which originally... Shh, guys, from here on in... When I am talking, please stop talking. And when other people are talking, please stop talking. Okay? Got it? Okay. So, minhag, for example, of Mariv is a rishus, but became a law. Now it's absolutely halachically mandated, but originally it was just a minhag. A kippah would be another example of something which is originally just a minhag, but now, according to virtually every rabbi, an obligation. So it's a minhag which becomes a halacha. Other times there are gzeiras that come out of a minhag, like the whole Jewish people just started doing it.
Are you not supposed to do that? Make a gzera on a gzera?
It's not a gzera on a gzera. It's a gzera. Rabbis make gzeras. That's part of Judaism.
They make gzeras on gzeras.
No, it wasn't a gzera. It was a minhag which emerged kind of organically, and then the rabbi puts a stamp of approval on it. Like monogamy, like only having one wife.
I don't like it.
But that was
misogyny.
What? It was the kind of which came after the fact that the Jewish people already had the minhag of not marrying more than one wife.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Some
other minhagim that I mentioned are moda'ani. Can you imagine a Judaism without moda'ani? Singing Kabbalat Shabbat, keeping 2 days of Chutz La'aretz, breaking a cup under the chuppah, most of the chuppah. All of these are customs, and really all of Judaism is surrounded by minhagim.
Is it
breaking the cup? How's that?
2 days is derabanan, but it's why? Because minhag avotenu biyadenu, because it was the custom of our forefathers, so therefore it became the law. But it started with minhag.
So it's
a law. Right, like that would be that category.
But not all minhagim.
Not all minhagim have that category. So that's what I'm saying. The word minhag means different things in different contexts, and therefore we have to be careful when we say the word. Not all minhags are created equal. Are equal, yeah.
Isn't breaking the glass on the chuppah a law from the Gemara?
It's mentioned in Taisos and Brachos, like we learned together, but it doesn't...
This is a piece of Bechiru.
In Daf Lamed Aleph or so.
This is all the...
But we already sinned Yimesh Gechach, we're good.
Also a minhag.
Kasher,
I know, but that covers all the bases of remembering the
temple. Cohen, but the Gemara mentions the idea of breaking a cup specifically, so yes. It might be rooted in the Gemara, or that guy that we learned about, but it's a minhag which developed organically. Okay, let's learn a little bit. Let's list some sources. Okay, the question in part one of this year is are minhagim lichatchila, meaning ideal? Do we want a Judaism that has minhagim? Or is it b'diavad, meaning we wish we didn't have to have a minhag, but that's what we're stuck with. So therefore, that's what Judaism has. But eventually, hopefully, we'll get to a place where we'll have total unity and no more different customs.
I would say that the way that Judaism was originally established with a Torah Shabbat pet, it kind of is asking for some sort of minhagim to take place because people live in different places and everything's like.
We're all meant to be living this.
Perhaps, maybe the ideal would be that we'd all be in one place in one community and we'd just be doing the same thing.
It's not realistic. You're supposed to settle the world.
No,
conquer the world.
I think we ended up settling the world, and certainly it was Rasa and Hashem that we'd end up raising up the holy spirits of the world. But I think, in terms of this, you know, on a simple level, the Torah says every Jew has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Israel. So
no,
we're really supposed
I'm
to be part of
Eretz Israel. But Eretz Israel, small, but it's big. Like you have.
Saying, they're different, and you could even make the argument there are 12 tribes in different lands. So it's supposed to be that different customs as well. Okay, another churches. Right. So that's the other. What we have the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is going to rule what the law is. Okay, so that brings us to source Bet on page 2, where we all learned together. The Gemara says that originally, says Rav Yossi, there wasn't machlokes, but rather, whenever there was a question, who do we ask?
The rabbis.
We asked the 71 rabbis on the Sanhedrin. Okay?
First.
In fact, this reminds me, when I think about this, of what thing even prior to Talmudic times, in biblical times, when else did we have this question of do we want one law or do we want...
One person.
One person or diverse?
This was with Moshe and Yitro.
Moshe and Yitro, excellent. So actually, I didn't think about this until right now. Next year, I'll put it on the source sheet. But the question is diversity or one law?
It's also with Nevi'im.
No, but he was going against the law.
Who?
Korach.
No. We're talking about the fact that Moshe originally said, I want to be the one judge.
Like, you can't do that.
No, I'm not talking about Korach.
No, that was because he was overwhelmed.
Is the ideal to have one law? Is the ideal to have different court systems?
And
different?
He used to have one law. It just wasn't practiced. Put down and governed by multiple people.
Implemented by
perhaps.
A system of...
Yes.
Isn't it the same
perhaps.
Thing?
So once you don't have one rabbi, one guy in charge, it's not always... Right, but the reality is there's not going to always have that same unity if you don't have one guy in charge.
You can look at it as, the federal court system in that it's... Okay. Everything's hadoka tea. There are different levels. And then there's, at the end, so there's top of the state pyramid, it's one central authority.
Guys, one person talks, one person lives.
What?
Moses. Just state by state.
Yeah, but that's not that. I'm talking about just the federal law system.
It's like Moshe is supposed to be the number one of the Sanhedrin. Like, the 70 plus Moshe.
Yeah. That's where we get it. First staff of Sanhedrin.
Good. Okay. So, originally, we're not supposed to have different diversity, it seems, from the world. But, says the Gemara, what happened... They took a vote. 71 rabbis, whatever they decided, that's the law. 3 hours, 6 hours, Daven Ashkenazi, Daven Sephardi, Haredi, Tzioni, Halal, Yom Ha'atzmaut, everything done. Misha Rabu, Tamide Shammai, Behillel, Shalosh Shimshu Kol Tzarchan. It's fascinating. It's not that they weren't smart enough. It's that they didn't, like, bring ice cream to their rabbi. They didn't mishamish. They didn't like, learn from him. Become the vessels to receive the Torah. Maybe they were steiging all day, but they weren't picking up on his character traits. There was arguments in the Jewish people. The Nasi Torah, Kistei Torah, and became like two Torahs, the Torah Beit Shammai, Torah Beit Hillel, arguments. According to this Gemara, and the Pashtus, what is Minhag or Machlokes? Is it ideal or is it B'diavad?
B'diavad.
Ideally we should have one law, one love. Let's get together
one
and
both right.
Feel all right.
In the end, they're both right.
No, in the end...
They're both right. One's more right than the other, but they are both have validity.
We'll get to that soon. We're not there yet. All we've seen so far is the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, we wish there was only one law like the good old days. Similarly, says Rashi on Sukkah, Shalol Asad Yisrael Agudat Agudat, V'nirek Shizei Torah. Why aren't we, let's say, necessarily allowed to have some people wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed and other people wearing not tefillin on Chol HaMoed? What are we worried about? That it's going to be, it's going to make it seem like there's
two
Torahs. We want one Torah. That's why, for example, if you're an Ashkenazi, but you're davening a Sephardi minyan, and you're leading for the Amud, how are you supposed to daven?
Interesting.
Like a Sephardi. Like a Sephardi. To yourself, how do you daven?
Ashkenazi.
But when you're leading the Tzibor, Sephardi. So there is an idea, certainly in public, that we should have one unity.
We don't do that.
Minhagim. Wherever you go to a place, you should be. You should.
People do Sephardi than people do Ashkenazi.
So it could be our minhag here in Eretz Chemda is that we don't have a minhag. And we're okay with that. But if you go to a place that's Dafka, one or the other, then
you
should.
If you go to Shtiblach, if you start davening like Sephardi, they'll probably get really mad at you.
Is that what Rabbi says?
At the Ramban.
Like I said, like we all have different minhags about different times to eat. So like for me, I waited until the 6th, and Mirsky waited 6. So like for us all the time, we're not dairy until like an hour and a half into dinner break.
I'm not sure what the Sephardi is for that whole meal thing, so as we'll share and stuff, but maybe.
Are we still talking about this?
You brought it
Okay, let's bring it in. I'm feeling like we're a little scared.
Bring it in, broski.
Guys, bring in the energy here. Okay, great discussion. Let's keep going. All right, so perspective number one, I think, is the classic and obvious perspective, which is minhag has its downfalls. It's not ideal. However, we all read together, Tana d'Velio has a totally different paradigm shift. Okay, someone want to paraphrase. Why does the Tana d'Velio believe that there is an advantage of Torah Shebaal Peh and Minhag? Yeah.
Because the purpose of the Torah is to lead you to Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole point, in the same way that when you get a flour, you're obviously the logical conclusion is that you're going to make bread out of it and that you're going to use is the bread part. The Torah isn't a practical set of halacha. It's something that you can derive a practical set of halacha from. So the obvious end result of the Torah is the halacha. Mishnah.
That's the goal of it all. In other words, the Torah is there to be derived by the rabbis and by the Jewish people for them to make it flour. But that's the ideal. That's the lichadchila, says the Tana d'Velio. Amazing. Yeah.
Don't you think that's such a non-realistic analogy? Because the truth is, we're not taking the flour and making one bread out of it. It's not like we're making 100 different breads that are different types, and every single bread is trying to disagrees with every other bread, and every person's only allowed to take a bite out of one piece of bread.
But it becomes so relevant to you. Your bread becomes so relevant to you and so integrated into your own life.
The whole reason.
Exactly, I'm brown, so I get the brown bread.
The whole reason he's bringing that.
You're so brown.
Wait, but apparently, it's your like a
brown
rash.
Bread, though. So because it's good.
No, it's true because
I get what you're saying. The analogy is not perfect. Alan also the analogy is not perfect, and the truth is it's more disgusting Torah Shebaal Peh than minhag specifically. But I still think the logic behind it that there's a beauty in the diversity in us making the Torah what it is what it's trying to convey, and maybe this is we're setting up the blocks to say that Hashem wants us. To roll out the wheat and make different types of cakes and different types of breads.
I'm Yemenite.
As part of that Lo Bashamayim he experience. He doesn't necessarily want it to just be one. Yeah? What do you have to say? You good? Okay. Guys, do you guys have a chance to see the Gemara in Menachos? It's one of the most amazing Maras. It's amazing Maras. Let's learn inside. Okay? Source Hey. Page 3. You guys ready? Amarav, b'shah she'ala Moshe l'marom, matzul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'yoyshev v'koyshev k'toyrim lo'ithius. Moshe Rabbeini, he's tying little tags on the letters. What do you mean tags on the letters? You know how the crown. He makes a little...
You can pull out a Sefer Torah.
So, okay. So Moshe's going to heaven, and he's tying crowns. Amarav, Ribbono Shalom, the master of the world says, So he says to him, "Who's staying your hand?" In other words, what's the deal with all these little osios? Like who? What do you need it? So he says, "There's going to be a great guy named Rabbi Akiva with Lag BaOmer coming." Of course, Rabbi Shimon Chai's Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. So there's a great man there named Rabbi Akiva. Shatid li jerosh al kol tayt v'kayt tinen dilajal halachas. Every little drasha, and those who are learning Gemara a little bit know that Rabbi Akiva, from every little nekuda, every little detail, he learns all sorts of laws from everything in the Chumash. Amar lefanav ribono shelam hareu li. So Moshe says, show me this Akiva guy. That's awesome. So he like flash forwards in history, goes in the little time machine. Amar lo chazor lacharecha halach v'yashav b'sof shmona shurot. He went eight rows back, listening to Rabbi Akiva's drasha.
Front row seat. No one recognized him?
He didn't get a front row seat because I guess he wasn't on the level, or it was, you know, saved seats or something.
Moshe wasn't on the level?
I guess.
Moshe Rabbeinu?
That's crazy. And he was on the eighth of Ramallah Minatava. A lot to talk about. The apartment we're looking at is on the eighth floor.
If you're walking, as one to start the whole shirt.
Getting dressed.
It doesn't seem like he walked in.
Showing again.
Like,
exercise. Physical shoe. Okay. Halach v'yasha b'sof shmona shurot v'lo yai yodea mahen omrim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he's hearing a shir, and he's like, what the heck are they talking about? Like, I did not say any of this. Right? You ever get that feeling? Moshe Rabbeinu saw our Gemara, like,
what?
Like burning stuff in Meiron? Like, what's going on here? I didn't know anything about that.
What?
Tashash Koicha. He got really weak. He's like, what are the Jewish people doing? Kevan Shigia Ladavar Achad, Amalot Amadav, Rabbi Minayin Lacha. They get to a certain law. And the students of Rabbi Akiva are like, where did you get that from? Hamalan, halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. Says it's a halacha from Moshe Mitzinai. It's passed down from Moshe. Nityashva daita. Moshe was like, it's all good. Chazer balef neikadosh baruch hu. He went back to Hashem. Amar lefanav ribono shalom. Yish chadam kazev atanu ten Torah lidei ayadi. Is a great man like Rabbi Akiva giving the Torah to me? I'm lo shtok. Kachalai machshava lefanai. Says shut up. This is what I wanted to do. Okay. Fascinating. End of the story. But I want to ask the obvious question, which is, what the heck is this Gemara trying to teach us? In other words, why was Moshe so confused? He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Shouldn't, like, I thought we have, like, Torah that Moshe gave to every generation. Isn't that what a Rebbe told us in Cheder? Like, what is this Gemara trying to say? I thought everything's passed down. And why is he suddenly, like, consoled when Rabbi Akiva says Alach Moshe Mitzinai? Shouldn't he have recognized it if he gave it at Sinai? Like,
is he consoled, or is he dafka?
He said Nityashva Dato. He had Yishuv Das. He was okay. He was like, chill. Oh, okay, it's cool. What's this Gemara trying to teach us? Who has any theories? The questions are strong, but what do you think?
The Torah that we have nowadays is just so developed, and it's been so, like, refined and expanded upon that it doesn't look anything like what we originally had. But it all has its root in Moshe Sinai, and it all has its root in Torah.
Okay, beautiful. It's said very, very, very eloquent.
Torah, and it's like based on Torah, and like we're still doing Torah, then we're good.
We're good. As long as it's a root in the Torah process, it's all good. For at least, not it's all, but a lot is good.
I mean, Reform Judaism is rooted in the Torah process.
No, great question.
As apparently a member.
So then that's exactly the big question is.
Christianity is rooted in the Jewish process.
Right. Well,
so is Islam.
Well, when we say the word rooted,
is Christianity Torah is not Julian?
So that's the question. Where do we draw the line? Is something being, maybe when Julian said rooted, he meant more like entrenched in Torah in theology. Right. Whereas just because something is related to it doesn't necessarily mean it's okay. But the question still stands. Guys, who here has yellow tefillin?
What? Smanish? Nobody.
Who here has pink tefillin?
Too much simcha. I really would love
that. Your life straps to be that though.
Who here has black tefillin?
Oh, I do.
Why do you have black tefillin?
Black is good. That's about it. I have to be black.
There's another reason why the Gemara says, you know why we have black children?
Halach l'Moshe
Mitzinai. Oh, yeah! Black and white.
Now, when you say Halach l'Moshe Mitzinai, what do you generally assume that means?
Moshe had black children.
Moshe had black children. Comes this Gemara.
Moshe had horns. What are you talking
about? Maybe Halach l'Moshe Mitzinai means something else. Because Moshe didn't know what was going on here. Maybe Halach l'Moshe Mitzinai means, what else could it mean?
Derived.
It's part of the tradition. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik ends up saying. It's quoted in Shirin that he gave for his father. Halach l'moshe mitzinai doesn't necessarily mean that it was, doesn't necessarily, may have been rooted from Moshe Har Sinai, but the main thing is that it's part of our tradition. And that, a person might say, oh my God, that's kfira. I don't know what's emes and what's not. But this Mara is trying to say, you got it all backwards, man. It doesn't matter if it's exactly what God had in mind with his Shulchan Aruch and in Shemayim at Mount Sinai. The point is that if it's rooted in the Jewish people and their Torah, in their way of expounding the Torah, it is Halacha Moshe Misina. That the essence of halacha is the fact that it's a minhag, is the fact that the Jewish people have been doing it more so than the fact that whatever divine revelation happened. Take the Kotel, for example. People always ask me, the Kotel, what's so special about the Kotel? So you can say all sorts of answers, but one answer is because the Jewish people have been davening here for so many thousands of years, it attains...
It's the seventh step.
Right. It attains a Jewish... And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do. Okay? Minhag, sometimes people laugh about a minhag, but the fact that the Jewish people are doing it, that itself might mean, oh man, that's holy. Okay? I might think it's a little silly, you know, burning fires in Meron, but if that's what the Jewish people are doing, maybe there's that itself is holy. Okay. So that's a groundbreaking Gemara. You guys got that Gemara? Okay, one more groundbreaking Gemara, and that's the Gemara in Erevin. Okay. Let's skip to the second part of the Gemara.
All right, the first.
They're both really, really good. Okay.
The second part is the best.
The first part talks about how Rabbi Meir could not pass in the halacha because nobody could outsmart him.
He was just a good debater.
Yeah, which means that, but maybe there was a lack of diversity. If the halacha would only be like Rabbi Meir. But let's focus on the second part of the Gemara. Amar Abba Amar Shmuel Shalosh Shani Nechachu Beit Shama Beit Hila. For 3 years, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argued. Beit Hillel amrim halacha kamoto, v'alalu amrim halacha kamoteno. 3 years, they're going back and forth, everyone's arguing. Yatza batko, v'amro eilu v'eilu divrei elokim chayim. These and these are the words of the living Lord God. In other words, who's right, Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel?
They're both words of God.
They're both the words of God. But the halacha is like Beit Hillel, which is a fascinating discussion as to why. But let's just, not why, because he was humble. And he quoted Beit Shammai first. And he had the right character traits. Because he allowed for a diversity of opinions. Gewalt. So
where's the concept of rove?
No, the end of the Gemara says, because of rove, because he...
So where is the concept of rove? Where is that derived from?
We saw that in, it's from the Torah. Acher Rav Nahatus. But anyways, we saw them in the Gemara before. I want to ask a bomb kasha. We're not going to have enough time to get into it. And the kasha is, what do we mean, Elu Elu Debre Lekim Chayim? Does tefillin have to be black or white?
Black. Or other people.
How can they both be true? Either Beit Hillel is right or Beit Shammai is right. Who, like, what does that mean? Either Moshe Rabbeinu is 40 feet tall or 10 feet tall. Or there's 50 miracles or 250 miracles at the Seder. Either we should daven, the Antik Nezik Dola said we should say Uvnei Yerushalayim or Vitivnei Yerushalayim. What the heck do we mean? Eilu ve'elu. These and these are the words of the living Lord. What does that mean? You ever think about that question? It's like one of those things you've heard it your whole life, but like, what does that mean?
Yeah. We're all right.
We're all
it sounds very nice, but like, what does it mean?
It means that they both express ideas in the Torah, but and things that are positive values. But only one of them is la'alach. Only one of them that we feel we need to emphasize more. But both of them are legitimate ideas and concepts that we want to bring.
They're both part of the rainbow of halacha. They're both colors, but one of them is one we need to stress more. Beautiful. What else?
I really do think that there is a huge Jewish value and a huge stress of debating and argumenting and discussion and education, and one of those things is having a good premise to base off of. So like when you're talking about even politics, like the right, no matter how extreme right, how extreme left, you can have really, and it's even mentioned in the story beforehand, you can have really good sides that are both true and are both factually like correct, and that's exactly what's intrinsic in the Jewish tradition. So maybe the Baskel was trying to say is yes, it's good, have those discussions, have that media to discuss, and then it also says that according to Beit
Hillel, right. Exactly. We have to have that diversity and the different opinions, but at the end of the day we need to bring it back and say, halacha l'maisa, we gotta decide on something. What? I'll put it simply. I think there's, let's say, 2 to 3 ways of simplifying the concept of Elu Elu. But concept number one is, the truth is, in Shemayim, Hashem has one way of looking at things, and there's one emes, which is what Hashem had in mind. When the Torah says, I don't know, let's give an example. Give me a machlokes. That's a classic machlokes. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. Or even better, mezuzah. Should mezuzah be this way or that way? Okay, parallel, horizontal, or vertical? So really Hashem had one in mind when he said the Torah. Okay? Really Hashem had one in mind. But since both Ashkenazim and Tfarnim are going through the halachic process, they're both considered derived from the living Lord, even though obviously who's really right? Tfarnim! But since they're both Elohim Chaim, they're both trying to go through the process, they're both good. Okay? That's one way of looking at it. You guys with me? There's one truth. Another thing is maybe what Ezra is trying to say, that they're both different strands of the truth, and the truth is bigger than one thing. But there's one we have to stress at the end of the day. I want to give you a radical third answer. Okay? And sorry if I'm too radical. But I'm radical then. The third answer is the answer of Loba Shamayin Hi, which I didn't even bring because you guys, I'm sure, know the Gemara. That when we have understanding Loba Shamayin Hi, that the Torah is not in heaven, is not that God has a Shulchan Aruch up in Shemayim and we have to figure out what Hashem really has in mind when he wrote that Torah, but that God didn't write the Shulchan Aruch. Who has to write that Shulchan Aruch?
We do.
We do. And therefore, Eilu Eilu Dibrelekim, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are both absolutely correct. At the end of the day, we have to pass them like one of them, and therefore, what does Hashem write in the Shulchan Aruch? Beit Hillel's opinion. But there's no... The MS is what we get to through our going through the halachic system. So people say, it's a minhag, it's not really from Torah, it's not really from a pasuk. No, if that's what the Jewish people have accepted upon themselves, if the Jewish people have decided that they're going to do kinyos, then that's what Hashem wants. He wants them to do kinyos. Even if it's a silly... Woo! Whatever. But the Ratzon of Hashem is based on where the Jewish people are going, and maybe that's another way of understanding Eli B'Eli Jebel Kim Chaim. Call me radical if you want, but... That's what I think.
Robert, we keep getting you out of
it. It's good to be radical, remember?
Radical then? Radical.
The Pasafarian says that it's annual Shuish
year. Wait, isn't who? There also...
Who says that?
I cannot
read. Rav who? Okay, Chevra, the next Gemara is extremely important. Okay. Okay, and that, but the question, of course, comes, well, who gives us the right? Like, we all know that there's all sorts of funny minhagim, and we've all heard the funny jokes about, you know, what's the minhag? Do we stand on the Aseret Dibros, or do we sit on the Aseret Dibros? What's the minhag? You guys don't know that joke?
Minhag is to stand.
The minhag is that half the congregation stands, half the congregation sits, and then we all argue about it. Or the minhag, if you switch around the letters, what do you get? Gehenim. Or the minhag of, you know, the silly minhag because the Rebbe started, you know, he did a little this, and therefore everyone does like this when they go into the shul. Fine, there's all sorts of making fun of minhagim jokes, but at the end of the day, we've seen that we take minhagim pretty seriously, and the question is where? What gives us the right theologically? Why do we take minhagim so seriously? I think this Gemara is a key to unraveling this puzzle. Source Zion on page 4. Okay, guys?
Okay.
Amalan Hillel. Classic, it's Hillel. What are the odds? Zu shamati v'shachachti, ele henicha en Yisrael. I forgot the law. I don't know. But, like, poke chazi, go see what the people do. Im ein neviin hem b'nei neviin hem. If the Jewish people are not prophets, they are the sons of prophets. So, see what the Jewish people are doing. And whatever the Torah Yidden are doing, that must be the emes of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants.
But that's not what B'nai Nevi'im are. B'nai Nevi'im are their apprentices.
As in the Nevi'im. Starts in the second temple,
when it mentions anywhere like in the Mishnah Torah or the Shulchan Aruch about B'nai Nevi'im, they're the people who were educationally like getting ready to be a Navi. So
okay, fine, good. So they're sense. Not prophets, but for some, the Jewish people have within us a prophetic sense. We have an ability to intuit the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously there's a strong kasha on this, as Alan was voicing before. What's the obvious question on this, Gemara? What does that mean? Anything that any Jew has ever done is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants?
Yes.
Right? I mean, maybe some people hold like that, but that would seem to be a problematic shita. Okay? So we have to, I guess, modify it a bit. not necessarily what any Jew or any group of Jews does, but how would we understand imein neviim hem b'nei neviim hen? What do you guys think? I mean, if you were you're on campus, somebody asked you, what does this Gemara mean? That there were the children of prophets, but there's all different types of Jews. How does that work?
I would say that maybe, like I was thinking about my example. I mean, okay, maybe you don't have a rabbi in your community, but still ask an educated person about it. Don't just ignore it. Don't say, oh, do we wait 3 hours? Do we wait 5 hours? What's the halacha on it? Oh, but there's no rabbi here. You know what? I'll just eat it now. Mm-hmm. Or you can ask Jared, who just came from TBA and knows a little bit about halacha. Then you ask Jared. You say, do we wait 1 hour, 3 hours, or 5 hours? He's like, are you
Israeli? None
of us. Are you Dutch? No. Then wait 5 and a half
24
hours.
Hours. Okay.
No. 3 hours.
Seder. Nice.
3 hours.
You also had a suggestion.
3 hours.
Guys, I would say this
is not on campus.
Why not?
We'll talk about it later. We just gave it to you, man. No, right now.
Let's
talk about it later. Broke? Let's talk about this later.
We'll talk about
it's machlekes. Rashi says like you. Rashi says like you. Others disagree. Anyway.
So I agree with Rashi.
That's great.
That's also my minhag. So
I would say why do you
think Rashi?
So what klausel does Rashi
think? I don't care what the Rama says. Rama is an halacha.
There must have been 1 hour, actually. It's the shach that you're talking about.
Wow.
Second of all,
he says it's better. It's good. He didn't say you have to do 1 hour. He says, like...
He said you should.
Okay. True. I take it back. I think the Rama is ambiguous, and he does indicate six hours is better.
You're right.
Enoch and Emmy. Weiser. Let's talk about meat and milk later. That's a great discussion. We gave a share about last week. But... I think the idea is that we're talking. Oh yeah, Persky.
No.
That we're talking about what Torah Yidden are intuiting. It's not just what any Jew intuits is the truth, but what the klal of Yisrael who are immersed in a Torah way of life. Look what they're doing, and if they're doing something holy, then that must have some importance, and we must think, oh, maybe there's something to that. In fact, the Ramah, his whole sefer is really defending the minhagim of the Jewish people. Right. A great example of this is... Here, guys, turn the page. We'll just skip forward. Let me find it. Purim. Let me find it. It's on the second page. It's on 2 of 4 of the second.
Dalit.
So, od katvu shenagu atinogot latzur shurat haman al eitzim habanim. Olechtov haman aleim lakotam al izdesh kidei shimcheh shmo al derech. So a lot of people hit. When they say the word Haman on Purim, they hit. Why? Because we should erase the memory of Amalek. And somehow from that came the Minog. When you get up to Haman, what do? Says the Ramah. The Ein Levatel Shu Minog Olil Ogalav. Don't mevatel that minog. Don't make fun of it. Ki lo lechinam hukba. Even if the minog seems to contradict how important halachas, like hearing every word of the Megillah, says the Ramah, of course you have to hear every word of the Megillah, but don't just get rid of the minog, because why do we have to keep the minog?
It wasn't made in vain.
If the Jewish people are doing it, if the holy Yidden are doing it, must be holy.
Amen.
Right? Take throwing candies at the bar mitzvah board. Seems problematic, but...
Old people may get hurt.
That is true, and you can get the fluffy, marshmallow kind if you want to be Machmir on Shmartim and Ashra Deha. But anyways, the point is, if the Jewish people are doing it, it must have significance. Now, of course, we have to, weigh things. If it contradicts a halacha, of course, minhag versus halacha, generally we would assume that halacha wins, although it's fascinating to note in some of the sources that even in that case, there might be situations where a minhag might trump a halacha. But in general, of course, halacha beats out on a minhag. It depends what type of minhag we're talking about. But again, because the Jewish people have nevuah, our souls are connected to the Abishter, and we as a community can... That's Hashem in Yiddish. And we as a community can intuit that. Okay. I already read Rav Soloveitchik about the importance of halacha moshe mishinai. I mean, the minhag makes something halacha moshe mishinai. Let's read this Moshe Kapel. Okay, in Meta Halakha, this whole Mahalach is actually based on Moshe Kapel's book, which talks about all of these philosophical topics of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And let's try to understand what he's really saying.
If people leave, we need to do Marv now.
We're going to do Marv at when are we do Marv? Okay. So, I mean,
people shouldn't leave it.
No, mana. Good mana.
A lot of people are leaving soon,
so
I think that might
be. We'll wrap up soon.
We need to wrap up. Maybe we just take a break to
dive. Yeah, we should
dive in. No.
What? Mushkabot says the following. The rules of grammar are not taught to children and then passed down from generation to generation. Instead, the language is spoken. In this sense, halacha is like a spoken language, passed down from generation to generation, not necessarily by anyone teaching us these are the rules of English, but rather by unspoken transmission from generation to generation. Similarly, it is important to formalize halacha from time to time, to spell out the rules explicitly, and not to rely simply on the implicit nature. And he says also that there are three stages in halacha. There's interpretation, there's formalization, and there's decision making. Okay, so let's flesh out what he's saying. In other words, he's saying very often we tend to think of halacha, and me and Mirsky have talked a lot about this, as a science. There's the rabbis who scientifically, you know, use their scalpels to unfold the meaning of the pasuk, and then they figure it out, and then we make a law that all comes down in a neatly beautiful package. Okay, and then we rule, and that's the halacha, like a science. But says Moshe Kapel, the Meta Halacha, that we should not view it like a science, we view it like a language. How is halacha like a language? In what sense? What is he trying to say? It's fluid. And how do we learn a language? How do we know how to speak English? Practice. How did you learn English?
Be around people who speak English.
You're around other people who speak English. Did anyone teach you all the grammars and the rules of grammar and then you learned English? No, you learned it intuitively, naturally. And that's what Torah is. We're supposed to be in a community of people who are keeping Torah and mitzvos, and therefore we naturally live and breathe Torah. And therefore minhagim develop organically. And therefore, even if a minhag, we didn't see it from the text, but it came from the Jewish people, and must be, it has value. Now, of course, unfortunately, because of Yerida Tadorot, because of the Golos, there are times when we feel like we're far from that intuition, from that nivuah, right? And so instead of intuiting halacha, what are we forced to do? Codify. Who is the greatest codifier of all time?
Mechaber.
Meshulchan Aruch.